What a wonderful thing it is to see children worshiping God, and so cool to have them lead us in the worship of our King. Because I still think that there is a part of each one of us that still identifies with this guy. It's a story that we have all heard growing up. It's been told for generation and generation now at this point. But we get Peter Pan. He's the boy that never grew up. The boy that never grew up. And there's a part of us that's still there. The reason that we're drawn to Peter Pan is because I don't really want to grow up either. And plus, he can fly. Who doesn't want to fly? And there's just this draw to the childlikeness that we encounter in the imaginative world of Peter Pan, where you get to hang out with your friends, go on adventures, and have food fights all day. I mean, it sounds great, right? None of the responsibilities of the world around us, and while I'm not going to encourage us all to be like Peter Pan, I think that there is an encouragement in Scripture that calls us to be like children. We somehow think that everything that we are like, everything that we see in our kids, are things that we need to grow out of. And yet, that would be a huge mistake, because there are aspects of our personalities that we need to learn from our children, because living in the broken adult world that we live in, we have actually gotten further away from God's ideal as we have grown up. Now, on the other hand, there is still another sense in which, as you read through Scripture, you'll see, and we'll see in some of our passages this morning, that in other ways, we have failed to grow up in areas where we're supposed to grow up. And so we live in this tension where we want to be like children in some ways, and in other ways, we need to grow up. And so I'm going to allow Scripture to kind of shake us a bit in those areas of life where I want us to go back being like kids. We're going to look and see what God's Word says about that, because sometimes God says, quit acting like a grown-up. Be a kid, because kids honor me more when they do these things. And then there's other areas of life where you're going to hear Scripture, and it's going to hit you, and it's going to say, quit acting like a little kid. You're 70, all right? Like, it's time you grew up a little bit. And we live in this tension of being childlike but not childish, because we're not supposed to be like children in every way. And yet we're not supposed to be like modern-day adults in every way either. God calls us to a faith that is childlike, but not childish. And there's a huge distinction there as we go through today, I think you'll see. In case you're worried, we still are going to finish the book of Amos next week. We're going to keep going in our series up north. We've just paused these past two Sundays for baptism and Children's Sunday, and we'll get back to the minor prophets, the northern prophets, in the coming weeks. I want to start us off with a passage that was already read in our service this morning in Mark chapter 10. It's just a short passage, yet it tells us something about Jesus' heart and what we can learn from our children. See, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And so parents were bringing their kids to Jesus because they wanted his blessing. They wanted his blessing. They wanted him to pray over them and put his blessing on them. And then that was a common thing that would happen at the time. It's almost like, and people wanted Jesus to dedicate their children. But the disciples rebuked them and said, no, no, Jesus is too busy for that. Do you know who he is? Son of God. He only deals with the higher-ups, you know, with grown-ups. He can't be bothered with children. He has a very limited amount of time on this earth. And the disciples are like, here, some other people can take care of the kids. Jesus can't be bothered with them. Unfortunately, we still have those attitudes sometime today. Sometimes today, we think we graduate out of children's ministry. Well, I've already put my 5 years in, so I guess I'm done. I teach adults now only. How do you think Jesus would feel about that? So my time isn't, it's too valuable to spend with children. Well, let's see how Jesus responds. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Indignant. That's a powerful word there. He's mad at the disciples. How could you undervalue our children? Do you know how valuable they are? In fact, you know that they are not only valuable, but they can teach us about the kingdom of God. For he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. What Jesus tells his disciples here is that in many ways it's actually easier to accept Christ when you look at him through the eyes of a child. Children have an easier time entering into the kingdom of God because they haven't been as corrupted by the world around them as some of us have as adults. When it comes to faith, we can learn a lot from our children because we need to unlearn some of the things that our broken world has taught us. You may have heard the term childlike faith or faith like a child thrown around, and that's not actually ever used in Scripture. This is the passage where that inspiration comes from, and I think it's worth exploring in a little more detail. What exactly does that mean? What is it about a child's faith that makes it such that Jesus values it and honors it and encourages adults to embody that same kind of faith? And so the first aspect of a childlike faith that I want us to ponder for a moment is that kids trust. Trust, faith, belief, those are all the same word family in Scripture. Usually it's the same Greek word behind all three of those English words. And it is because when a kid hears God's word, their instinct is often, "That's true. I believe it. I accept it." Children so often take God at his word because they don't know not to. After all, he's the one that made the universe. He has the power to do anything that he wants. If he says something, isn't he going to do it? If he says something, shouldn't I believe it? And we see that in our children, don't we? As they hear the stories of Christ and the things that he taught and how much he loves them, they believe it. They really believe it. When you tell a child that God loves them, say, yeah, he does. And yet adulthood makes this harder, doesn't it? We've had our trust violated so many times in different ways, and we've learned that, well, people are dishonest sometimes. I can't always believe what they say. In fact, some people are even talking about God, and they tell me things that I shouldn't believe about about him, and it starts to create within us this tendency to mistrust. This tendency that leads us away from God's ideal for our faith. This tendency that needs to be reoriented by looking at the way that our children follow God. They take him at his word. They believe that what he says is true. They believe that he's going to keep his promises. And those are things that we all need as grown-ups too. We need that same kind of trust and confidence that when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. That when God says he loves me, he really means it. That when Scripture tells me that God is with me, he really is. We need faith like a child. Not only do we learn from the ability of our kids to trust, but we also learn from their ability to depend on God. So often we've learned as we've grown up that the ideal for us, especially as Americans, is to get to this place in life when you don't need anybody else for anything, right? Isn't that how you know when you've made it? We make people feel bad as a culture when they need help. And so it becomes harder and harder to receive the help that God offers us. And we convince ourselves that we are actually living in this illusion that we are whole people in need of no one. Yet as I read through Scripture, it never tells me that I am going to be in a place where I don't need God anymore. Yet my fear is that some of us of adults think we have graduated to that level. We think that we have finally gotten to this place in life where we are so self-sufficient that we no longer need to depend on God. And so even when we know internally that we do, we're afraid to tell anybody else that that's true. And yet as I interact daily with children, they are most certainly aware that they cannot do it on their own. They know that they need mom and dad's help. They know that they need God's help. And they're not afraid to ask for it. They're not afraid to let people know when they need help. I've talked to adults even who have gotten into this mindset that they say, well, have you prayed about that? They say, well, no, I can't bother God with that prayer. He's too busy doing really important stuff to care about the things that I need. I'm like, have we gotten so far away from the faith of the Scriptures that tells us to depend on God, to let him know everything that we need, that we think it's an inconvenience of God to listen to our prayers, or that my prayers aren't a big enough deal for him to hear? Sometimes I get in the mindset of, I wish my kids would think that some of those smaller deals they didn't ask me about. Like, no, you really don't need help with that anymore. But there's a beauty to their willingness to ask for help when they know they need it. And they ask for a help in a way that they expect that mom and dad care enough that they're actually going to do it. And we need to call out to God in that same way, with a childlike dependence that acknowledges that we cannot do life on our own, that we were never designed to be that way. We're not supposed to grow up out of our dependence on God. So may we look at our kids in the way that they interact, not just with their parents, but with their Heavenly Father as well, and learn from the way that they share their needs honestly with their Heavenly Father. The way that they share with an expectation that he cares and that his desire is to help. May we be a people of childlike dependence. Thirdly, I value the teachableness that our kids have. It can be easy to get to this place where we think, you know, I kind of know it all. And it's been shown naturally that the older that you get, the more difficult it is to change someone's beliefs. So the older that I get, the more and more stubborn that I get. And yet, that doesn't bode well for growing in my faith. When we instruct children, they often know that they need to know something new. They're able to recognize that they don't know it all. And what a beautiful attitude that is. Wouldn't it be great if we as adults had the humility to live as though we don't know it all? That every conversation we saw with someone else was an opportunity to learn and to grow? That when I opened up Scripture, I expect to learn something new and exciting? And that I'm even willing to perhaps change the pattern of my life according to the knowledge that I take in and discover. And that's something that our children do so much more quickly than we do, let's just be honest. They can learn a truth about Scripture and their life can be different the next day. With me sometimes, I can learn a truth about Scripture and then I have to stubbornly change my pattern of life. But we see the ability to be taught by God's Word that our children display, and we would do well to learn from them and to embody their teachable spirit. One more aspect of childlike faith, and that's that kids are so often amazed. Kids are so often amazed. It's so cool. We heard from Theo's teacher at school this week that they had a magician come in, or an illusionist, and our teacher just said, he just kept saying, "Whoa, whoa," like every time the illusionist did a different trick. And it's like, I want to have that kind of attitude with God. Like, sometimes I wonder, where has that gone? Why is that not as frequent as it used to be? And I love having conversations with new Christians because you always get a sense of this again. Like, that's really true? God became man? Are you kidding me? He died on the cross for my sins? That is amazing. The creator of the universe loves me? No way! And yet as we grow up, we get so used to it and we start to take it for granted, and we can learn from the amazement that's shown by the children that are a part of our family. The way that they are amazed and excited about God and are able to truly see just how amazing He is. May we have the amazement of our children. So we're supposed to maintain those aspects of our childlike faith, and yet we're supposed to grow up too. We just finished 1 Corinthians, and I want to take us back to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Paul's explaining, and he says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." He's saying that there are aspects where we're supposed to grow up. The Corinthians were living in this tension where they were kind of bickering like children. And he was, Paul's saying, look, haven't you guys grown up yet? I mean, I understand this behavior when you're five. That's expected. But you guys are 40 now? Why are you acting like five-year-olds? That's not okay, unless you're talking about your faith and your dependence and so on. Let's also go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. We're going to be in Hebrews in the fall, so this will be a preview for you all. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. We'll pull a few things out of this, but the first way I want to challenge us to mature in our faith is to discern good from evil. That's something that's challenging for a child to do on their own. As children, our natural instinct is to do what we want. Not really contemplating, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Is this action that I'm going to take a good one or an evil one? When we're kids, we don't think all that often about that. Except maybe, am I going to get in trouble if I do this? Yet as adults, Paul calls us to a different standard. He expects us to focus not on what we want to do, but on what God wants us to do. On what's actually good. To make intentional choices to pursue the good and not the evil. When we grow up, we carry a greater responsibility to do that. And so it's one of the reasons why we naturally extend our children a little bit more grace when they make some mistakes. Like when your child steals some candy from the store, you get home and you realize it. You probably take him back to the store and you make him return it and, you know, apologize or so on. When a grown adult does that same thing, it's a different conversation. Usually the law enforcement is involved because we expect adults to live to a different standard of knowing right and wrong. And the same thing is true in the right and wrong aspects of following Christ in our faith. It's not okay, grown-ups, to still do whatever we want and to let that be our guide. But may we strive to do what God wants. And kids, that's for you too. Your goal should be to strive to do what God wants each and every day, not just what you want. Let's go to a different passage in 1 Corinthians 3, which we already covered last fall as well. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly?" And by worldly, he also means, are you not childish? Are you not childish? Because when we grow up, and this is something I come back to again and again, and as long as I'm here, you're still going to hear me say that one of the key signs of maturity in life and in faith is the ability to prioritize others with our lives. When we're kids, we think about ourselves a lot. My whole world, your whole world kind of revolves around you, and I know that there is the rare child that is super others prioritized. That is not the standard child. When you're a kid, it's expected that you think primarily about your own needs. Yet when you grow up, that's not okay anymore. Christ calls us to care about the needs of others to the point where we no longer bicker and fight with each other. Because most of the time when we're having a fight, it's because I want my way and you want your way and I'm going to force you into thinking my way or so on. Kids fight and quarrel, and we get that. Who hasn't slugged their sibling once or twice? It's a daily occurrence in our house, I think. But it's not okay when grown-ups do it. It's not okay for grown-ups to get jealous of one another. They're supposed to be maturing in their faith out of that. It's childish when we still continue to be competitive rather than cooperative as we do life together. So may we grow out of our selfishness and into a life that prioritizes others. Thirdly, may we grow into a life that pursues God. That pursues God. And what I mean by this is when I was younger, when I was a child, I tended to sit and wait for things to come to me. I tended to be content for other people to teach me about God. I tended to wait for other people to prepare my dinner. Yet as I grew up, my teachers taught me how to read the Bible for myself. And my parents taught me how to cook dinner for myself. And the expectation is that as I grow in my faith, I'm not only learning about God when other people are feeding me, but that I'm taking the initiative on my own to pursue God, hopefully each and every day. That there's a desire within me to seek God even when other people aren't forcing it on me. And then I learn to feed myself. I learn how to seek God through His Word and to study the Bible on my own, and I don't only rely on the message that I hear on Sunday morning. I don't only pray when we pray together in a corporate setting, but I'm spending time talking to God on my own. I have a desire to keep getting to know Him, and I take the initiative to make that happen in my own life rather than waiting around for somebody to do it for me. It's okay that my kids don't get their own food ready right now. That's okay. In fact, if they did, it would probably just be candy. It's not okay if that's true for adults. And in the same way, it's okay if our kids need someone to walk them through Scripture, to do devos with them, to teach them about God. But Katie and her team already have them on a track where they're learning how to read Scripture on their own. It might start out as the Action Bible comic book, and that's awesome. But then eventually you get to the fullness of God's Word, and you're excited to study it on your own. And we want to help you get to that point if you're not there yet. That's one of our goals. It's a part of our pathway called Deepen. That our goal is to have everyone here who's a part of this family deepening their relationship with Christ on their own and with their families, reading their Bibles and being in prayer and seeking to follow the Holy Spirit each and every day. That's something that we want to see our people with a hunger and a pursuit of God that is not just limited to what happens on Sunday morning. Back to our Hebrews passage, and I want to focus on this first verse. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Now, there's some truths. I do need to still learn the elementary truths of God's word and be reminded of them all over again. But the picture that Scripture paints for us as adults is that as you grow up in your faith, the expectation that God has is that you are passing on that knowledge to others, that you become a teacher of God's word, that you share Christ with other people. I'm not saying that everybody is called to teach a class or something like that. But I think that everybody is called to share Jesus with the people that are in their lives. That's part of what it means to have a mature faith, is to go from not just being taught, but to being a teacher, to passing on your faith to the coming generations, to passing on your faith to people that don't yet know Jesus yet. And that's why Paul says, hey, at this point, you've been walking with Christ so long, you ought to be passing on your faith. Instead, you're still acting like you're a little kid, and that's not okay. At a point in our faith, we have to cease becoming purely consumers and start being people that give back and that teach others and that make disciples with our lives. Our children are already on that path. They're already starting to do those things as they grow into adulthood. I know I made a lot of points today. And there's a lot of different places we can go. But I hope that you see big picture-wise that God calls us to both a faith that is childlike and mature, or childlike but not childish. We can learn from our children. They're valuable, not just in the sense that one day they're going to be leading this church, but we can learn from them even now. So our children are not just the future of the church, they are the church today, right now, and we learn from them and they encourage us. Yet also, we have a responsibility of a church to grow not only them, but also ourselves in these other ways toward a mature faith in Christ. We have one more song we get to sing with our kids. And before I pray, just let me encourage you that during kids singing is an okay time when you're allowed to be childlike. When they jump, it's okay to jump unless you have a bad knee, then I understand. Then they understand. But may we learn from the enthusiasm and the joy that our kids display when they sing about Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are grateful for our children, for the ways in which they model what it looks like to have an authentic faith with you. May you create that kind of childlike faith within us, and at the same time grow us into full maturity so that we might pass on that faith to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.